I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Vern's postgame show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow.
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
All right. Good afternoon. Royals win. One of the most satisfying wins of the season, in my opinion. I put a lot of stock into this game earlier today. If you were listening to the On Deck show, this, I understand. It's early May. It's a team from the National League. How big can it be? Well, big enough that I'm calling it the most satisfying win of the season. Royals 6, Brewers 4. I could talk by myself all day, all night about this game, but I'd love for you to get involved. If you were one of the more than 22,000 in attendance this afternoon, you don't wait on hold, you jump to the front of the line. Phone lines are open. The number is 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Yeah, the most satisfying win of the season for numerous reasons. One, it secures a 500 homestand. If the Royals are the team that many of us believe them to be, you got to go 500 at home. I don't care who the opponent is, the defending World Series champions and a first-place Brewers team, I don't care. Give me a 500 homestand, they did that. Not only did they do that, but they secured a series victory against a team that currently has a winning record. It's the first time this season the Royals have taken a series, taken a rubber game from a team that currently has a winning record. And dropped them both to the Orioles, lost to the Tigers, lost to the Twins, lost to the Mets. This, finally, removes that narrative. Now, maybe it's just a narrative that's bouncing around on sports radio and among Royals fans. I can't imagine inside that clubhouse they're saying, all right, we finally beat a good team. Now, I'm sure they thought Toronto was good and other teams that they've beaten. I'm sure that they celebrate that fact. But the narrative among Royals fans now can be silenced. Now, when they hopefully go to Anaheim and eat up the Angels, we cannot dismiss it and say, well, of course they're beating up on the Angels. The Angels stink. The Royals always crush the bad teams. That is now out the window because a first-place Milwaukee Brewer team came to town and dropped 2 of 3. Now it's a happy flight to Anaheim. It's a confident lineup. Even the hitters that aren't performing well at the dish are making an impact defensively. You know I want to talk about MJ Melendez and that throw that he made that could have completely altered the game. Now, you can point to that MJ Melendez throw in the seventh inning, a 91-mile-per-hour missile from the left fielder. You can point to that throw and call it the play of the game. I know Bobby hit another bomb. I know Vinny Pasquantino and Michael Massey drove in 3. Now, Brady Singer, again, gave you another chance to win. But to me, that play from MJ Melendez, a guy that has struggled mightily offensively, blocks it out and makes a very difficult throw. With his momentum carrying him into foul territory, he throws a strike to Freddie Freeman at the dish for a big out in that seventh inning as the Royals hang on to a one-run lead. MJ and the Royals' defense is rewarded moments later by the Royals' offense. They score 3 in the eighth inning and hang on to win at the end. Final score, 6-4. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. A tip of the cap to Garrett Hampson at first base for the first time this season, and he could have saved the game with a terrific stab on a line drive off of the bat of William Contreras in the top of the ninth inning. Bobby's speed, Vinny's power, Massey's ability to get a job done, it was all on display this afternoon, so that is why I call it the most satisfying win of 2024. What say you? 913-586-7610. Let's start off in Parkville. Caleb, you're hitting leadoff. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, Vern, I just want to say it was a good win. Honestly, I just want to say I think the Royals won tonight or today because of the music, the welcome music and all that. I think it was something that sparked it off, and just a great win all in all. Thank you,
man. All right, Caleb, we got you down. Everyone trying to get their love on Cody and Gold and Fesco in the morning. That's now become a thing. Say silly things on the post-game show and try to get some sports radio clout. We're not doing that today, are we? James MacArthur picks up his eighth save of the season. And yeah, he came out to welcome to the jungle. Is that what we're attributing it to? Axl Rose instead of Chris Stapleton? Scott in Kansas City, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, brother. I agree with you completely, man. The walk-up music's got nothing to do with it. The starting pitching and the consistency of the rotation is what's keeping us afloat. I do have a question on before I get off the air on this. I remember at the end of 13, before 14, we brought in Shields and Davis.
That was before 13. That was after 12 going into 13.
It seemed to, and we already had Guthrie, and it seemed like those three kind of stabilized and taught, you know, the team how to win. I've seen a giant improvement in Singer and Marsh. I'm wondering if there's a direct connection with Waka and Lugo coming in, coming from teams that have success. I think Witt coming back around is amazing. He is blossoming in front of our eyes. And like I said a couple nights ago, man, I feel like this is 13, and we're seeing glimpses of what's coming. If the offense could just be a little more stable, the one thing that scares me is the bullpen is becoming a little shaky. I would like a little more consistency. I see that's the one thing we could tighten up, man. But
of course, yeah.
Go Royals as always, man. And for all of those who forgot, man, we've suffered through so many years of just, even if we win like 84, 85 games and miss the playoffs, that's like a 30-game improvement. Nobody does that. That's like unheard of. Go Royals.
Good stuff. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, listen, you're always striving for consistency. The two toughest facets of the game to find consistency are offensively and in the bullpen. And I, you know, that happened in 2013 and 2014 and 2015. You had inconsistencies in the offense. You had inconsistencies in the rotation. Keep in mind, I didn't say you had inconsistencies in the bullpen. HDH is not the expectation, my friends. HDH is a legendary trio. Not just legendary in Kansas City, legendary in baseball history for what they did. Let's not act as if we'll ever see it again. You should not expect to ever see that again. So, don't hold your breath. Right now, in my opinion, you have James MacArthur, who you should feel very confident in. John Schreiber, who you should feel very confident in. Angel Zerpa, you should feel very confident in. The track record of Chris Stratton and Will Smith. Nick Anderson says, give us some time. We'll lock it in. We've been through it all before. Zerpa, by the way, another scoreless appearance. This today was Zerpa's 17th appearance. He lowers his ERA to 1.69 across those 16 innings. The left-hander has 17 strikeouts to just 3 walks. As far as the comparison to 2013, yeah, but Wade Davis isn't the name you want to mention. No, it was Guthrie re-signing him, trading for James Shields, and acquiring Irvin Santana. Those guys each gave you 200 innings that season. They brought the type of stability that this organization hadn't seen since Brett Saberhagen left, or maybe Kevin Apier left. Maybe since the 94 team. It took 20 years to find that stability. And this offseason, when Michael Wacha was inked, after you already brought in Seth Lugo, it was my belief that those names would bring the type of stability to Kansas City's rotation that we haven't seen since 2016. And that seems to be the case so far. Royals rotation has an ERA of 3.14. That's fourth lowest in Major League Baseball. Do I think Wacha and Lugo have had a direct impact on Singer and Marsh? I'm sure in some ways, yeah. But Singer and Marsh, I mean, that's a first-round pick and a second-round pick. These guys have had talent for a while. I think the coaching staff has done a great job helping them implement new pitches, find confidence in new pitches, present new pitches. I think the pitching department deserves more credit than Wacha and Lugo. And I think Singer and Marsh themselves, just their hard work, their confidence, they both have the mentality of a number one. Whether you believe they are aces or guys that you would give the ball to in an ALDS, Brady Singer and Alec Marsh carry themselves and believe in themselves that I deserve the ball in game one. Nice hearing from you. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Text line is there as well, 913-586-7610. My game notes following this 6-4 Royals victory are presented by our good buddy, Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. All right, let's go back to the phone call. Stu in Blue Springs. Stu, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
What's up, my man?
What's going on, buddy?
Not much. I was at the K today. It was awesome.
Well, that's really good to hear. I appreciate you calling us up and passing that along. Let's keep it going. Let's go to Ian in Lee's Summit. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. The Royals are now 22-16 and the proud owners of the fifth best run differential in Major League Baseball. What's going on, Ian?
It's going good, Vern. This win was absolutely spectacular. I'll make this quick, though. I want your opinion on something. What do you think is more electric in a game? A late inning home run by like what Bobby Witt Jr. hit, or a throw to the plate to gun down the runner in really any inning? Me personally, I think it's the outfield assist. I always got fired up when Gordo would do it. I just want your opinion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Give me the defensive play. Honestly, when it comes to Bobby Witt Jr., I want to see him run. I don't want to watch him jog. I mean, I'm happy when he's jogging around the bases, but you know what I'm saying. I want to see that freak athlete do his freak thing. So, yeah, give me the MJ Melendez seed throw to Freddie Fermin that may have saved the game for the Royals tonight in the seventh inning. Appreciate the phone call. There's a line open for you, 913-586-7610. We'll hear from you and head inside that Royals clubhouse after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, great call, Jake Eisenberg, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Top of the seventh inning, Royals led this game 3-1, but Gary Sanchez is a strong, strong young man. That was a well-executed pitch by Nick Anderson. Gary Sanchez just went with that fastball on the black, on the outside part of the plate, went with it, parks it 401 feet over the right field wall, and just like that, it's a one-run game. Anderson walks the next batter that he faces, and then with one out and the man on second base, Bryce Terang rips one to the opposite field. Rips might be the wrong descriptor there. It was a sinker in to a left-handed hitting Bryce Terang. He kind of just fought it off into left field. And, you know, MJ Melendez is shifted for the left-handed hitting leadoff hitter of the Brewers, so he's got a ways to cover to go and corral that bloop over the third baseman's head. So as he gathers it, his momentum's carrying him into the foul territory, and he's still able to throw that 91-mile-per-hour strike to Freddie Fermin to get Oliver Dunn at the dish for the second out. Angel Zerpa comes in, he strikes out Christian Yelich, and the Royals hang on to that one-run lead, and they would go on to win by a final score of 6-4 as they put three runs on the board in the eighth inning, highlighted by Bobby Witt Jr.'s first home run in a very long time. It may not feel that way, but Bobby's home run there in the eighth inning was his first since April 11th. A 24-game homerless drought for the MVP candidate shortstop. Bobby Witt Jr. today scores three runs. He now has 36 on the season. That's the most in Major League Baseball. He picked up another extra base hit. He now has 21 extra base hits. Only Shohei Ohtani has more. He had six total bases today. That gives him 84 on the season. Only Shohei and Mookie Betts have more. And then he picked up a pair of knocks. He has 48 base hits this season, fourth most in Major League Baseball. Again, my friends, he is, without question, one of the 10 best players on the planet and a viable MVP candidate right now in the American League. Let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. Actually, before we head to the phone calls, I got to head down inside that Royals clubhouse and hear from the general, who picked up his eighth save of the season this afternoon. He's kind enough to dial us up after the Royals' 6-4 victory. James, great job out there this afternoon. How good did it feel to get the job done for the boys this afternoon?
Yeah, thank you. No, yeah, it felt great to go out there and the team up, especially after a tough loss the night before. Definitely wanted to go out there and help the team however I could. So glad glad the boys hung in there and battled all game long, and glad we're leaving with the victory.
We talked during spring training about how last year taught you that you belong in the big league. So I'm wondering, last night, when you leave the ballpark, were you able to leave it at the ballpark?
Yeah, it's always good for me to try to leave it here, go home, be with my wife and kids, and show up the next day ready to help the team however I can. That's something that I had to learn last year, and I think that after some tough outings then, I got a little better at handling it. So still learning, but relying a lot on these veteran guys too in situations like this.
James MacArthur, kind enough to dial us up after the Royals' 6-4 win. Annie Rogers of MLB.com wrote a great piece with Seth Lugo and Will Smith and Vinny Pasquantino all picking you up, all rallying around you. How much did that mean in the clubhouse last night?
Yeah, it means the world to me. We have a really great group of guys here, really great veteran guys and also younger guys that are leaders on this team, and all them picking me up, it meant the world to me, and motivated me and motivates me to go out there and try to help the team every single day however I can. It's a very special group.
James, you guys now fly out to the West Coast for a 7-game road trip after taking 2 of 3 from a first-place team in the Milwaukee Brewers. What does this 3-3 homestand, this series victory, a team now 6 games above .500, what is this little stretch said about what this team can do this season?
Yeah, I think it just kind of shows a snapshot of how talented we are, how much fight we have as a club, and, you know, it also shows that that yesterday doesn't matter and tomorrow's a new day, and Angels is our next series, so we're ready to go take them down tomorrow and see how it goes.
And James, did you make a switch to Welcome to the Jungle from White Horse by Chris Stapleton, or is that just how it went today out there?
Yeah, I think we made a switch. We had we talked with the creative team here about trying to do something maybe for the fans, get them a little more fired up, so decided to switch over to Welcome to the Jungle.
Well, I love it, and I love the performance. Happy flight out to the West Coast. James, great job out there this afternoon. I appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
There he is, General MacArthur. Royals win 6-4. The phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. I think I have to apologize. I have to apologize to the guy that I dogged out last night. I have to apologize to that first caller. Yeah, okay. I guess you guys were right about the entrance music. There you go. We have our answers. All right, now let's head up to St. Joe. Jerry, sorry for that tease. Jerry said, to hell with you, I'm out of here. All right, so we lost Jerry. 913-586-7610. Let's try JD, who was at the game. JD, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, man? Just leaving the game with Rally Manager, your favorite person.
Yes,
sir. So, quick question for you. Who is this Tyler Duffy guy, and why is Jordan Lyles not pitching at all? They're paying him, I don't know how much money they're paying him, but he's just sitting there. Is there a reason?
He's on the inactive list. He's currently not on the team. Appreciate the phone call, guys. Drive safe or call somebody to drive you around. Might be a better idea. All right, let's go to David in Kansas City. David, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Vern. Just a quick side question. Are you still doing the pregame up in the Boulevard area?
No, I'm now on the third level on the concourse over by First Aid.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Yeah. I appreciate that. I tried to stop by last night, but just missed you. Also, just wanted to ask and kind of get your take on Hunter Renfroe. I mean, 155 on the season is pretty brutal. So appreciate what you do, and I'll take it off air. Just wanted to see your thoughts on that.
Yeah, listen, I don't have much. I don't have many. I'm certainly not going to sit here and give you a spiel defending his play through 38 games. You know, had you mentioned MJ Melendez? I've been waiting for it. MJ was hitting .182 with an OPS just a shade over 600. I'm not worried about MJ, because MJ's still one of, if not the best defensive left fielder in the American League. And what is the hallmark of this Royals ball club? Elite pitching, elite defense, and elite team speed. MJ's a key cog in that. Hunter Renfroe is supposed to be a key cog in that. But, you know, this afternoon he misplays a line drive off of the bat of Bryce Terang in the ninth inning. Last night he drops a line drive at him in the eighth inning. Yeah, that can't happen. If you're going to hit .150 with an OPS below 500, oh my gosh. You got to catch the ball. So I'm with you. Whatever you're thinking, I'm right there with you. Now, the only thing that I guess I could pass along, I don't know if it's really going to, I don't know if you're going to be able to take much solace in it. It's what I was leaning on in the first few weeks of the season, but even now, I don't even know if I feel like passing it along. But you know the fact that for the last six full seasons, this guy's hit 20 home runs in the big leagues. This guy's had 50 extra base hits in the big leagues. Six straight full seasons. That's pretty impressive. That's a track record. You know, right now he has six extra base hits and three home runs. So he's, what, on pace for like 14 home runs? On pace for 30 extra base hits? Yeah, that's certainly disappointing, especially when you throw in the fact if he stinks, he's not going to decline his player option. He's going to say, no, you know what, how about you pay me that $7.5 million next year? He's not going anywhere anytime soon, I'll tell you that. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Steve and Merriam. Steve, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals win 6-4. Go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Nice to see him pull the game out. Yeah. Hey, so I'm not quite sure how to frame this, but I want to throw something out there, and just if you think it's worth talking about, I'll just listen to what you have to say. Like, you know, as a fan, I kind of feel like at this point in the season, I'm sort of like on my third date with the Royals and trying to figure out, okay, so how much do we like this? How much do I like this person? You know, what do I like about him? What do I dislike about him? How are we as far as a match that makes me feel good? And I think the real question I want to get to, I know they throw all sorts of statistics out there that would say what a team's win-loss record should be, you know, based on what some of their statistics say.
Right.
Something
right.
that scares me on the offensive statistics is this kind of oddity they have had with having like seven, like big innings. And if you take those oddities out of the picture, you know, where do they really stand without them? So my question is, do you think win-loss, they're right where they should be, or are they
They should be better.
Out wins
they should
they
be better than what
be?
They are. Yeah.
What's that?
They should be better. If you dive into the numbers, thanks for the phone call. The Royals are 22-16. If you dive into the Pythagorean win-loss, which takes into account run differential, the Royals should be 24-14. So they actually should be better than what they are. Again, I understand home runs and offense is what garners the headlines. And offense can win you a lot of games in the regular season. But what sustains, what lasts in the regular season and works in the postseason is pitching, defense, and team speed. Again, the Royals' rotation has the fifth best ERA in Major League Baseball. The defense has saved more runs than any unit in the sport. And on the base paths, they're top three as far as base running runs. Top three in the sport. Offense, middle of the road. Middle of the road, according to most statistics. Now you look at what they do in big spots with runners in scoring position, with runners on base, they're actually pretty strong. So that means, to go along with your third date analogy, well, you know what? I don't want to get into that. I'll leave that to Carrington. That's his expertise. I'll step in something I shouldn't have said, so I'm just going to avoid that. But pitching, defense, team speed, and a pair of MVPs in the lineup, man, that's a pretty strong start. We can nitpick, sure. All nine hitters aren't clicking. All eight relievers aren't red hot right now. But you're 22-16, the fifth best run differential in the sports. You know, knock on wood, you're as healthy as anybody in this division right now. And you're going to L.A., to hopefully beat up on a Halos team that is just doing Ron Washington dirty. Boy, oh boy. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Evan in Leavenworth. You're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead, Evan.
My name is Evan Heim. I'm 8 years old. And one of my favorite players hit a home run, and that was Bobby Witt Jr. And my mom and dad let me skip school.
All right. Give me a go Royals on the way out.
Okay, go Royals.
Go Royals.
My man. Way to go, Evan. Way to go, Mom and Dad. Way to prioritize what matters. And seeing Bobby Witt Jr. do his thing out there, his 16th multi-hit game of the season. The only other person in the sport that has 16 multi-hit games is that freaking Los Angeles named Shohei Ohtani. Royals win 6-4. They head to Anaheim to open up a four-game series starting tomorrow night, 8:38 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show and your chance to win Royals tickets tomorrow night at 7:30. Quick timeout. We'll get right back to your phone calls and head back inside that Royals clubhouse after this.
You're listening to Burns Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
And now he launches a high drive deep left field. To the wall and gone, Bobby Witt.
First home run since his multi-home run game back on the 11th of April. The second longest homer drought of Bobby Witt Jr.'s unbelievable career. I say unbelievable because he's like the, well, he is the 10th player in franchise history to reach 50 homers, 20 triples, and 90 stolen bases. Only 9 other guys in the history of this franchise have done it. But they were all in their 30s for the most part. I mean, outside of Carlos Beltran, who was 25, George Brett was 26, Johnny Damon was 26, everybody else was in their 30s. Bobby's more than a month away from his 24th birthday. He's done all this before he said goodbye to age 23. Guy's unbelievable. He's one of 3 Royals with multiple hits in this 6-4 win against the Milwaukee Brewers. Bobby goes 2-for-3. Vinny, 2-for-3. Freddie Fermin, 2-for-3. How about Freddie? Last 16 games, the Royals' backup catcher is hitting .283 with an OPS near .750. Yeah, if you're just joining us, James MacArthur was kind enough to call us up after he collected his 8th save of the season, said he made a decision to change his walk-up music from Chris Stapleton to Guns N' Roses. So I know that makes a lot of people happy. This, to me, was the most satisfying win of the season. You secure yourself a .500 homestand, and you secure a series victory against a winning team for the first time this season. Sure. I believe the Blue Jays were at .500 when you beat them. I'm talking about a team that today, on the 8th of May, has a .500 record or better. The only series you've won against a team like that happened today as you take the finale from the first place, or formerly first place, Milwaukee Brewers. I think they fell behind the Chicago Cubs in the National League Central. All right, let's head out to Washington. Let's talk with Jason. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Jason, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, Vern. Thanks for taking my call, man. Love the show.
Yes, sir.
Great, great big-time win. Series win. Great mood for us all. nice to see Stratton have a quick inning there. Duffy made it more stressful than it needed to be. That's for damn sure. It was awesome to see MacArthur bounce back, but you're right, man. I think we found our number five hitter with Massey because he's been on fire. But frustrating Cleveland one again today. But looking forward to next week, going to 2 of the Mariners games. Tuesday, Thursday. Thursday's a day game, but change your body clock next week, man. Since games won't be on until after midnight.
Well, I'm gonna need you. I don't know how many people I'm gonna have on the post game show. I'm gonna need you to call us up.
For sure. I will be there, my friend. Well, thanks for taking my call. Go Royals.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Michael Massey threw his first 17 games this season. Remember, Mass was out the first 15 because of that lower back injury. So he's played 17 games. He has 12 RBI. He's hitting .281 with an OPS right around .775. Michael Massey, allowing a guy like Renfro and Melendez and Velasquez to struggle offensively because 2 MVP candidates and Bobby and Salvi. Either Vinny or Mike Hell's always cooking, and now you throw Michael Massey into the mix. That's more than half of your lineup you feel pretty confident in. Speaking of Vinny, Vinny's now driven in 11 runs in the last 12 games. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals improved to 22-16 on the season. Go ahead. Garrett, there
hey,
you go.
Vern,
go ahead, buddy. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call, Vern. I was watching the game during school, and, man, MJ Melendez has a hose of an arm, man. Glad that the Royals won, and I just hope that they can actually win some road games, because they've been struggling on the road. Thanks for taking my phone call. I don't know if I will be on the post game on these late nights.
Okay, well, either way, I appreciate it. And next time you call up, I need you to turn the radio off in the background. Thank you very much, Garrett. Opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7610. Royals on the road, actually not too shabby. One game below .500 at 7-8. I'll take that. Let's go to the text line, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line from the 913. Vern, when do you think we'll see Will Klein up here full-time? Full-time? That's right now, that's dependent on an injury, right? Because Alec Marsh is going to return and hopefully make the start on Friday. He'll take the roster spot of Daniel Lynch. you know, someone brought up Tyler Duffy. Okay, Will Klein could take his spot. I think that could happen maybe at the end of May into June. For a guy like Klein, for a guy that hasn't, for a guy that doesn't have any dirt in his spikes, you got to show the front office a solid 2 months, I would think. You need to show the front office a solid 2 months of consistent stuff down at the minor league level if you're going to replace someone like a Tyler Duffy, who has plenty of dirt in his spikes and has been through just about everything. Also, for a guy like Will or Duff, to replace a guy like Duffy, there also needs to be a need. And I think there's always going to be a need for velocity, for strikeout stuff. Carlos Hernandez, Will Klein. Again, I'm looking towards the end of May. Hopefully for both of them. And hopefully the reason they get the call isn't necessitated by an injury. Will Klein coming off his worst outing of the season yesterday. His first bad outing of the season. Okay, I'm not trying to make it out like the kid's been performing poorly. He's been outstanding. Mark writes in on the text line, Vern, why not leave Chris Stratton in after he made such easy work of the 4-5-6 hitters? Why not bring him back out for the ninth? Yeah, fair question. I was wondering if they were going to do that after that eighth inning concluded, but then the Royals put 3 runs on the board in the bottom half of that inning. Right, then it's a 6-2 game, no longer a save situation. You got the 7-8-9 hitters coming in. I had no problem whatsoever pulling Chris Stratton because now you can use him tomorrow. You know, Tyler Duffy, do your job. Don't walk the first 2 batters that you face. Appreciate you listening, Mark. All right, stay tuned. Much more with Carrington Harrison, Rob Brenton. The Drive is coming up next here on 610 Sports Radio. I'll talk to you tomorrow on The Drive. And I'll also talk to you tomorrow at 7:30 for the pregame show, giving you a chance to win Royals tickets. Make sure you're there. Royals win 6-4. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday night, Kansas City. Take care, and thanks for listening.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
And now he launches a high drive deep left field to the wall and gone, Bobby Witt.
First home run since his multi-home run game back on the 11th of April, the second longest homer drought of Bobby Witt Jr.'s unbelievable career. I say unbelievable because he's like the 10th player in franchise history to reach 50 homers, 20 triples, and 90 stolen bases. Only 9 other guys in the history of this franchise have done it. But they were all in their 30s for the most part. I mean, outside of Carlos Beltran, who was 25, George Brett was 26, Johnny Damon was 26, everybody else was in their 30s. Bobby's more than a month away from his 24th birthday. He's done all this before he said goodbye to age 23. Guy's unbelievable. He's one of 3 Royals with multiple hits in this 6-4 win against the Milwaukee Brewers. Bobby goes 2-for-3. Vinny, 2-for-3. Freddie Fermin, 2-for-3. How about Freddie? Last 16 games, the Royals' backup catcher's hitting .283 with an OPS near .750. Yeah, if you're just joining us, James MacArthur was kind enough to call us up after he collected his 8th save of the season, said he made a decision to change his walk-up music from Chris Stapleton to Guns N' Roses. So I know that makes a lot of people happy. This, to me, was the most satisfying win of the season. You secure yourself a .500 homestand, and you secure a series victory against a winning team for the first time this season. Sure. I believe the Blue Jays were at 500 when you beat them. I'm talking about a team that today, on the 8th of May, has a 500 record or better. The only series you've won against a team like that happened today as you take the finale from the first place, or formerly first place, Milwaukee Brewers. I think they fell behind the Chicago Cubs in the National League Central. All right, let's head out to Washington. Let's talk with Jason. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Jason, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, Vern. Thanks for taking my call, man. Love the show.
Yes, sir.
Great big-time win. Series win. Great mood for us all. nice to see Stratton have a quick inning there. Duffy made it more stressful than it needed to be. That's for damn sure. It was awesome to see MacArthur bounce back. But you're right, man. I think we found our number five hitter with Massey because he's been on fire. But frustrating Cleveland one again today. But looking forward to next week going to two of the Mariners games. Tuesday, Thursday. Thursday's a day game. But change your body clock next week, man, since games won't be on until after midnight.
Well, I'm going to need you. I don't know how many people I'm going to have on the postgame show. I'm going to need you to call us up.
For sure. I will be there, my friend. Well, thanks for taking my call. Go Royals.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Michael Massey threw his first 17 games this season. Remember, Mass was out the first 15 because of that lower back injury. So he's played 17 games. He has 12 RBI. He's hitting .281 with an OPS right around .775. Michael Massey, you know, allowing a guy like Renfro and Melendez and Velasquez to struggle offensively because two MVP candidates and Bobby and Salvi, you know, either Vinny or Mike Hell's always cooking, and now you throw Michael Massey into the mix. That's more than half of your lineup you feel pretty confident in. Speaking of Vinny, Vinny's now driven in 11 runs in the last 12 games. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals improved to 22-16 on the season. Go ahead. Garrett? There
hey,
you go.
Vern,
go ahead, buddy. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call, Vern. I was watching the game during school, and, man, MJ Melendez has a hose of an arm, man. Glad that the Royals won, and I just hope that they can actually win some road games, you know, because they've been struggling on the road. Thanks for taking my phone call. I don't know if I will be on the post game on these late nights.
Okay, well, either way, I appreciate it. And next time you call up, I need you to turn the radio off in the background. Thank you very much, Garrett. Opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7610. Royals on the road, actually not too shabby. One game below 500 at 7-8. I'll take that. Let's go to the text line, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line from the 913. Vern, when do you think we'll see Will Klein up here full-time? Full-time? I mean, that's right now, that's dependent on an injury, right? Because Alec Marsh is going to return and hopefully make the start on Friday. He'll take the roster spot of Daniel Lynch. You know, someone brought up Tyler Duffy. Okay, Will Klein could take his spot. I think that could happen maybe at the end of May into June. For a guy like Klein, for a guy that hasn't... For a guy that doesn't have any dirt in his spikes, you got to show the front office a solid 2 months, I would think. You need to show the front office a solid 2 months of consistent stuff down at the minor league level if you're going to replace someone like a Tyler Duffy, who has plenty of dirt in his spikes and has been through just about everything. Also, for a guy like Will or Duff, to replace a guy like Duffy, there also needs to be a need. And I think there's always going to be a need for velocity, for strikeout stuff. Carlos Hernandez, Will Klein. Again, I'm looking towards the end of May. Hopefully for both of them. And hopefully the reason they get the call isn't necessitated by an injury. Will Klein coming off his worst outing of the season yesterday. His first bad outing of the season. Okay, I'm not trying to make it out like the kid's been performing poorly. He's been outstanding. Mark writes in on the text line, Vern, why not leave Chris Stratton in after he made such easy work of the 4-5-6 hitters? Why not bring him back out for the ninth? Yeah, fair question. I was wondering if they were going to do that after that eighth inning concluded, but then the Royals put 3 runs on the board in the bottom half of that inning. Right, then it's a 6-2 game, no longer a save situation. You got the 7-8-9 hitters coming in. I had no problem whatsoever pulling Chris Stratton because now you can use him tomorrow. You know, Tyler Duffy, do your job. Don't walk the first 2 batters that you face. Appreciate you listening, Mark. All right, stay tuned. Much more with Carrington Harrison, Rob Brenton. The Drive is coming up next here on 610 Sports Radio. I'll talk to you tomorrow on The Drive. And I'll also talk to you tomorrow at 7:30 for the pregame show, giving you a chance to win Royals tickets. Make sure you're there. Royals win 6-4. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday night, Kansas City. Take care, and thanks for listening.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.